Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
When I was a young teenager, 14-ish, I decided I wanted a stereo, and it was way out of financial reach for me, and so I began baling hay with farmers around us in Minnesota. And for those of you uninitiated with hale bales, they're about 75 pounds a pop, and for a 14-year-old, that's a bunch. And you stand in the back of a trailer. There's a tractor at the front, and then a baler in the middle, and then you trailer behind, and the baler keeps just spitting out bales at you, kind of like Lucy and her chocolates, except they're hail bays, and they're going to come at you no matter what happens. So you grab and you go, and it's hard at the beginning and it's hard at the end. And the reason it's hard at the beginning is that you grab the hail bay, you got to walk all the way to the back of the trailer, set it in place, and then get back up there again quick, because the next one's coming and it's not stopping for you, and keep going. And then at the end, because as you build, you kind of use blocks and you got to make this thing stable as you're going along. But at the end, I mean, this thing is tall. You've stacked bales and now you're right up front there, but now you've got to go up. And so you take the bale up and you set it in place, and then you got to get back down because that next bale's coming. And that's not the end, because when the trailer's done, then we take that to the hay mow. And hay mow's the top part of the barn, and it's about 412 degrees in a hay mow, and you got to stack the bales again. And it's a day of really hard work, and I believe, it was probably, 40 bucks. 40 bucks is 40 bucks. And so every week I would bale hay, and then I would take money into Montgomery Ward and put more money down on my stereo that I had on layaway. And finally, after a really long time, I was able to get my stereo and take it home. And it was mine. And of course, first question from little siblings is, can I touch it? No, you may not touch it. And you may go away now. And it was my stereo. And I had that thing for a long, long time. I took superb care of it. The same time, I had a relative who, go visit his house. And he had all sorts of stereos around. And he abused them. He, had funny things that happened. He would think it was so funny to, toss it out a window or whatever he did, with it. And I remember just being kind of dumbfounded with the whole thing. And on one level, I was like, man, I wish I had that, because his parents just gave him stuff, just all sorts of stereos and as many as he wanted. And so he would give them away, he would lose them, he would, destroy them. It was just, that's another thing. And there was a big life lesson in that. One is, when we work for it, we value it. And I think, by the way, when we work for it, we value it. And generosity becomes a whole new thing. When we work for it, we value it, and then we give it. There's another part of that, though, too. When it's free, it's easy to give away. And that's really what we're talking about today as we start out this series, The Empty Cross. And the Empty Cross, as we celebrate Easter, there are three pieces to Easter that I want to talk about over the next three Sundays. How convenient. Now, most of the time when we talk about Easter, we talk about it chronologically. We talk about the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, and that sort of thing. And we talk about the cross and the resurrection, the cross on Good Friday and the resurrection on Sunday. Well, I want to take it apart in a different way. And this is three aspects that impact our lives dramatically. And there are three, and I'm going to use another word, theological parts. There's the chronological parts, the history, but there are three theological parts that deeply impact us. And they are, this is what we'll be talking about the next three Sundays. Today we're going to talk about the cross, that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross dramatically affected us. And then one we'll talk about next week, which chronologically came after, is the ascension. Jesus not only rose from the dead, the resurrection, that we'll save for Easter, but he also ascended to heaven. And that dramatically affected us. After Easter, by the way, we're going to do a series called The Two Shall Become One. And we're going to talk about marriage and great things about that. And before I forget, YouVersion. We're on YouVersion now. So if you have the YouVersion app, it's the Bible app. You'll see that little picture on your phone. You click live, and I think if you just say, what's here, we should be number one on the list. But if not, you can put in the zip code, and then hopefully we're number one on the list. And also, we do have an open Wi-Fi. If you have a pad or something, you can just click on the, it says Freshwater, and it's open, so you can download, but that's a little separate. So today we're going to look at the empty cross and Jesus dying on the cross, that first element of this wonderful truth, the empty cross. The empty cross speaks to us today, and I think rather loudly. It speaks to everyone, believer or non-believer. It speaks loudly. And the first thing it talks about is the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for us. You see, the empty cross brings forgiveness. It brings forgiveness. We're going to look at probably the, maybe second, maybe first, most familiar passage in the Bible. It's found in Matthew 6. A lot of people, when you say Matthew 6, they won't, well, that doesn't sound familiar, but it will get real familiar. It starts with, Our Father, who art in heaven. But we're going to start in the middle of it, verse 12. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if, and that's the end of the prayer, by the way, and then Jesus talks about it. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. So here Jesus gives what's often called the Lord's Prayer. In actuality, the Lord's Prayer is in John 17, the prayer that Jesus prayed himself. This is probably better called the Disciples' Prayer because Jesus gave this prayer to us. And he gave this prayer, the Our Father prayer, to us as his believers. This is something to pray. And it works great as a faith-filled prayer to recite, but it works even better as a prayer outline. And that's really its intent, to be a prayer outline. To begin with worship and praise, Our Father in heaven, hallowed, praised be your name. And to stop right there and to worship and to praise, and then to continue, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and just stop there and think about all the different aspects of friends, of neighbors, of our country, of our own lives, where we need God's will to be done, and so on as we go through the prayer as a prayer outline. There is a word here, and in fact, when I've done different kinds of services, ecumenical type services, one of the questions they ask is, debtors or trespassers? Apparently that's a deal. I didn't know it was a deal, but some churches say, as our texts say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us or debtors. And then others say trespassers. Well, I looked up the Greek word here, and it's a really, the Greek word, New Testament originally written in Greek, the Greek word here is a really unique word that means debt. You owe something, and that helps us understand forgiveness a great deal. You see, when someone wrongs you, they owe you, right? That's the essence of what has just happened. Somebody has wronged you. They've hurt you in some way, and now they owe you. That is natural. That is normal. That is just the way it is, and forgiveness is forgiving the debt that is owed. So, here in this prayer, right in the middle, Jesus is widening the radius of the empty cross. You see, as we go through the Lord's Prayer, disciples' prayer. We begin with, it's just me and God. It's me and Jesus. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we pray this prayer, and it's just me and you, Lord. But when we get to this part, all of a sudden, the effect of the cross widens. See, it's no longer just me and God anymore, but it's also my relationship with other people. It also is beyond just me. And one of the things that the empty cross speaks to us loudly about is that its effect is dramatic on us, but even continues from there to dramatically affect those around us. Jesus widens the radius of the empty cross right in this most famous prayer. Well, we begin this with the feeling of divine forgiveness. We prayed, forgive us our debts in this prayer. And right there, we need to stop and just remember to focus on the feeling of true forgiveness. Now, when we owe a debt that we cannot pay, and that debt is so beyond us, and it gets paid by somebody else, it brings on a tremendous feeling of cleanness, of freedom, and of gratitude. And that's what has happened here with divine forgiveness. There's a lot of things going on with forgiveness. First, there's, of course, a just God who is so good, and his goodness and his justice require something. See, a judge who would let somebody go, just let it happen. Eh, whatever, it's okay. That is no longer a good judge. Yet, he's a father who has mercy. And this paradox brings us to the cross. Also, he is so good, so pure, that the slightest impurity makes him impure. And so, to have relationship with us who are stained with sin, even little sin, and him so pure, he needs the cross between us. That feeling of forgiveness, so rare and yet here so profound, affects us dramatically. Feel that feeling. This prayer continues, and it says, as we have also forgiven our debtors, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I'm just going to clarify one thing. Not into is a way. And so I'm going to say it like we would say it today. We would say, and lead us away from temptation. This will come together even more in a little bit, but we are to be led away from temptation. And the point here is that there's a time to be a wimp. There's a time to be a sissy. And that is to get away from temptation. Jesus, in his prayer, is saying, God, lead us away from temptation. And when we're faced with temptation, and when there's that thing that always tempts us, the best thing to do is to stay away from it. And to be that wimp, you know, sometimes we think, well, we got to be tough, and I can handle this, and it's get away. And in fact, we see that played out in Scripture over and over again. Get away from temptation. Run. And it continues. Include others in your forgiveness. And Jesus talks about his prayer of how important it is to forgive others. God's forgiveness of you. Sin hurts. And we talked about that. When someone wrongs you, it hurts. And sin hurts God. And yet, with his purity intact, with his justice intact, he brought an ultimate sacrifice to pay for our sin. We usually get that part. We usually get Jesus forgives my sin because of the cross. But the part that's maybe tougher, it's tougher for me, is that that also pays for other people's wrong as well. It needs to widen the radius of the empty cross, more than just me, but others as well. It allows us to forgive others. And as our video story told, it also allows us to forgive ourselves. You see, I can wrong God, and I can wrong you, but sometimes the most difficult struggle for us to deal with is when we've wronged ourselves, right? When we, I can't believe I did that again, and I'm so disappointed in myself. How did I end up there? And it is tough. We can beat ourselves up. The cross allows us to forgive ourselves as well. Moving on to the deafening silence of the empty cross. You see, everybody struggles with unforgiveness. Everybody struggles with unforgiveness. We have been hurt. People have hurt us. Situations have hurt us. We've hurt ourselves. And we struggle and we wrestle with this unforgiveness. Everyone struggles with that. The empty cross continually calls out to us with a challenge to forgive. With a challenge to forgive. My little sister, I think I was 9 at the time, she got me in trouble. It wasn't my fault. She was really good at getting me in trouble, even when it wasn't my fault. But she got me in trouble, and I was hopping mad. And what I've learned with my little sister, starting when she was just able to crawl, is that kid will get me in trouble, whether it's my fault or not. So if I do something directly, I'm just going to get punished for it even more. And so I was mad. I was it's unfair, and it's not my fault, and all these things that a 9-year-old says. And so I thought, I'm going to get her. I'm going to get her. And how could I do that? And I'm going to get her. And so what I did is she had this tea set, this cooking tea set, had a little oven thingy. It didn't cook. It was just a toy. And she played with that all the time. And she, with the tea set, with the little fake oven thing, there was a green pot. And so I walked into her room when no one was looking, and I grabbed the green pot, and I left the house. I went into the woods. We were living in Washington State at the time, and there were some thick woods, and I built a campfire in the middle of the woods. 9 years old, I think about that now, and I go, my goodness. But I built a campfire in the middle of the woods, and I stuck the pot on the end of a stick, and I held it over the fire with a grin on my face. And as I'm watching it, you know, melt into the fire, as I'm grinning along, one of the things with plastic as it's melting and gaining heat is plastic catches fire. And so it caught on fire, and I jerked it out of the fire or jerked it so it would, you know, stop burning. And as I jerked it, a drip of burning green plastic fell off and onto my leg, burning right through my favorite jeans, nice little hole, and going directly into my leg. In fact, it just drilled a hole, actually a pretty deep hole, right into my leg and disappeared. To this day, I have this molten piece of plastic swimming around in me, I guess. Well, now I'm with another conundrum. Now what do I do? If Mom finds out about this, I'm in real trouble. I have a hole in my jeans, and I have a hole in my leg. And it didn't bleed much because it was burned through, you know, nice deep hole. And it was pretty deep. I remember that pretty clearly. And so I thought, I'm just going to deal with it. And so I went to the bathroom. I put bandages on. I changed my pants. I didn't wear those for a long time. And then it got infected. And so I'm secretly pouring hydrogen peroxide on my leg, you know, and making it through. And, you know, the more I think about that, that's another great life lesson. Because you know what happened? My sister never noticed the missing green pot. Never came up. She didn't even see it. And here I am with a hole in my leg and a hole in my favorite jeans. I'm in pain. I have hydrogen peroxide bubbling out of my leg. And what a place we're at, right? That's where unforgiveness often leads, isn't it? We all struggle with unforgiveness. Everyone. The empty cross calls to us again and again with the message of divine forgiveness. That God, who is perfect, forgives us who are so imperfect. And that widens out that we can forgive others. There's a quiet misdirection of forgiveness. When we're talking about unforgiveness, we need to understand what it is and what is not. And I think we're easily misdirected into something that is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not trust, right? In reality, sometimes, some situations, we ought not trust someone or some situation. It goes with that sissy effect that I talked about. There are some places that I do not trust me. I have talked to some wonderful believers who go to some really seedy places to lead people to Christ, and they do a great job. And I'm just amazed not only at the stories that they bring back, but too, wow, doesn't even tempt you in the slightest, does it? And I go, I can't do that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to the place of temptation for me. I'll go someplace else. There are situations where I do not trust myself. There are situations where I do not trust others. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. I've forgiven myself, I've forgiven them, but it doesn't mean necessarily trust. Certain situations, that doesn't work. The second, another misdirection of forgiveness. Trust is not forgiveness, but excusing is not forgiveness. Sometimes we have a great excuse, and you know what? There are great excuses. There are reasons that something bad happened that really wasn't my fault because there was a great excuse. Sometimes we say, well, you're just telling excuses. Sometimes there are excuses, but that's not forgiveness, right? It's not really their fault. The situation hurt us, not the person's fault, right? So that's not really forgiveness. A third one that is common, and I'm just going to call it wait, and that is, well, you know, they're a really good person who occasionally hurts me. But overall, their good outweighs their bad. And so there it is. Well, you know, sometimes that's really easy to do with ourselves. Oh, I'm not so bad. And that's not forgiveness. That's saying their good outweighs their bad, but you're not really forgiving the hurt that they've caused. You're just outweighing it. And then fourth time. Oh, it was such a long time ago. It was 5 minutes ago, or 20 years ago, or 175 years ago, or in the case in some places in the world, it was 1,000 years ago. You know, get over it. Time is not forgiveness. It can heal a lot of wounds, but it still isn't forgiveness. Those are misdirections, and they lead us not to forgive. It's easy to not forgive, especially when the debt is deep. When the debt is so deep, so hurtful, what that person has done, what we have done, is so hard to forgive. It's easy to not forgive. It's easy a lot of times to not even receive God's forgiveness, His deep and true forgiveness. Wait, no, let's just move on from here, God, and try to let time go by or something. But we need to receive His forgiveness. No matter, even if you've been a Christian for a very long time, there are things that are difficult for us to allow God into our heart to forgive. Sometimes His forgiveness strikes us again with how profound it is, and we wonder, God, how could you forgive that? It's easy to not forgive. Forgiving ourselves sometimes is the hardest thing to do. And of course, forgiving others. That thing was so bad. There's some effects to that. Our lady in our video said that unforgiveness is like cancer, and it eats you from the inside out. But I'm gonna take that another step further and say unforgiveness is like cancer because it never stays where it starts. You see, if you have kidney cancer, wouldn't it be just, you know, it would be not so bad, right? If a kidney cancer stayed in your kidney, you could just have the kidney removed and bada bing, or shut down the kidney, fine. But cancer never stays where it starts. It always spreads. It always moves on. And it's the same with unforgiveness. As easy as it is to walk in unforgiveness, it's like cancer. It never stays where it starts, and it begins to affect other parts of our life. The effects of unforgiveness in our relationship with God, of course, is eternity. One, you either want to be a God or you don't. But also, we deny ourselves the depths of relationship with Him, revelation, and the love He has for us. We love less when we deny ourselves His forgiveness. Luke 7:47, Jesus says, "He who has been forgiven little loves little." And by the way, I don't think that verse is just for the tawdry testimony, somebody who's lived a terrible life and been forgiven and changed, like our murderer person in our video. I think that's for all of us. When we don't give it to God to forgive, we deny ourselves His love. Because when we've been forgiven more, when we've given everything to Him for to forgive, we love more. And with ourselves and others, when we don't allow forgiveness, it keeps hurting us. And it never stays where it starts. The empty cross is the power of forgiveness. And we're going to talk about these three effects of the cross, the resurrection last, and the ascension, and how that affects us. But Jesus paid a price on the cross for us. And the empty cross is that power of forgiveness. While I was in college, I had my first impact with true wealth. I hadn't really, been wealthy people in my life, but not, different level. It was a different level. And I went to a college that nobody knows about here. It's called Gustavus Adolphus. It's a Harvard wannabe. And I'm not kidding. It took me days before I found somebody who wasn't a valedictorian or a salutatorian. I was like, wow. But also, there were a lot of wealthy kids. Go through the parking lot. It was a nice parking lot. And I heard the professors talking one day going, it's kind of hard working for a place where the students are driving cars that are worth more than you were paid last year, and you're like, wow. And a friend of mine named Clocks, this is his nickname, Clocks, he went home for Christmas break and he got in an argument with his dad, a kind of a friendly argument about working out in the gym. And his dad said, well, if you can gain 15 pounds of muscle weight between now and Easter break, or whatever next break was, I don't know, 15 pounds of muscle weight, I'll give you a brand new Corvette. Clocks was in the weight room every day and made it. He drove to campus in a brand new vet. There's something with the richness of God's grace that ought to affect us in the area of forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7, Paul says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." This is ultimate wealth available to us. Through His blood, it begins. We have forgiveness. We have redemption. It is ours. The empty cross, His sacrifice, brings forgiving power. The blood of Christ not only provides abundant forgiveness from God, it also provides forgiveness of others. You see, Jesus died not only for my sin, for the wrong that I caused God, but He also died for the wrong caused you. The ability to forgive, like the dramatic story we just saw, is not based on me being such a good person, but me looking to an empty cross and seeing how that effect changes. Jesus died for all those wrongs. He died on the cross. A perfect, perfect person, God incarnate, dying on a cross, a spiritually cursed method of death. And in that bore not only my debt, but every debt. That means, in a practical sense, one, I need to make it right. If I cause hurt to someone and I'm aware of it, I need to do my best to make it right. Sometimes there's nothing you can do but say you're sorry, but I need to make it right. That's because of the cross. But the other side of that is, others don't need to make it right. I need to forgive them whether they totally oblivious to it all because of the empty cross. Jesus died for that. I need to make it right, but they don't. It's nice when they do, but they don't. My forgiveness is not contingent on that. My forgiveness is contingent on the cross. According to His rich grace, He paid the fine and more. While we were still enemies, the wealth of grace paid it all. So how do we do this in real life? How do we walk in forgiveness? First thing is what I've been talking about this whole time. Look to the cross. The cross provides it all. It paid your debt. It paid their debt. It paid all the debt. Receive His forgiveness for your sin. And look to the cross. He paid the debt for the wrong you caused yourself. Forgive yourself. Not because you're so good or you've earned your way, but because of the cross. And then forgive others because that debt is paid as well. Accept the payment. Forgive. And then, secondly, avoid certain situations. I've already talked about this, but there are times that you need to run. Run like a scared little girl, because temptation is a killer. And there are times where I do not trust myself in that situation. And there are times when you can say, I don't honestly trust that person in that situation. I don't think you should go in that place. And in relationship with our kids, with our family, sometimes we need to have those discussions and say, it's okay, there's times I don't trust myself, and I think this is one of those situations where maybe you ought not trust yourself and not put yourself in that place. Avoid certain situations. Don't trust yourself in those situations. That helps us walk in forgiveness. And then third, understand debt. That little thing is a huge thing to God. Understand your debt. And then four, spread the wealth. Pass on the richness of His grace. I love that North Minneapolis story. It challenges me. And because she did what I know I need to do, and that is forgive. And she did it not because she's a great person. She did it because she looked to the cross, to the empty cross of Christ. Wow. Let's make that our story as well, because of the empty cross. Heavenly Father, thank You. As we walk toward Easter, we take this Sunday and we thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross. We thank You for Your blood in the new covenant that washes away all sin. And Lord, first and foremost, I lift my own heart to you. And I pray for your cleansing forgiveness. I receive the payment, the penalty. I receive your grace. Cleanse my sin. Forgive me, Lord, for that thing that I can't believe I did. I pray for your forgiveness. And Lord, I look at your cross and I forgive myself. It's beyond the pale that I did what I did. I can't believe it myself. Right now, because of the cross, because of your blood, I forgive myself. And Lord, that other person that did that thing at work, or that raw deal, broke a contract, I forgive them. Not because of their heartfelt apology, whether they gave one or not. Not because they've changed and turned their ways or paid me back. But because you paid for it. Lord, help us this month as we walk toward Easter to walk in the profound shadow of an empty cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.